Hello and welcome to the Supersize Phys Ed Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Kearney, and I teach in Fort Myers, Florida, kindergarten to fifth grade, PE. So welcome. Now, today we have a special guest, and it is none other than Spencer Barfus. Now, I've known Spencer for a while through social media, and I really appreciate him and all he's done for the phys ed world. As a matter of fact, Spencer got the phys ed Twitter handle, and it's an interesting story, which he'll talk about in this episode, as well as many other things. So tune into this episode, and I hope you like my interview with Spencer Barfus. All right, so here I am with Spencer Barfus. How are you tonight, Spencer?
Doing well, Dave. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. I always enjoy talking to you, so thanks for being on.
Yeah, great to see you now. Hear you on Voxer, and then I read your tweets, so yeah.
Yeah, it is different, isn't it? I mean, we've been talking for a while, just audio, and I obviously see your pictures and stuff, but I never really haven't met you yet, which I look forward to sometime, hopefully.
Absolutely.
All right. So can you tell us a brief summary of Spencer, a little bio, maybe how you got involved in PE, how long you've been in PE, that whole deal?
Yeah. So me becoming a PE teacher, it's kind of an interesting story because I went to Texas A&M University, and for the first 2 years there, I was general studies, had no idea what I wanted to do, was always involved with sports, and I thought I was going to be playing collegiate sports at Texas A&M, but that didn't work out. But I ended up declaring business after that for about a semester, and I realized it wasn't for me. And somebody was asking me, hey, have you considered kinesiology? And I was like, what is that? I didn't even know what it was at the time. And they explained it to me, and I was like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. And so I went ahead and declared kinesiology. But even upon graduating at Texas A&M, like, teaching was like the very, very last thing that I wanted to do. And part of the reason for that was because of my fear of speaking in front of people. Just always felt like I was really nervous, stumbled over my words, would just kind of stutter and things like that. So I just always told myself I will never teach. And so I pursued jobs upon graduating in like sports management, kind of like health club fitness management, things like that. And honestly couldn't find a job for like 2 years. And then someone was like, hey, have you tried teaching? And I was like, oh, I was like, that's the last thing that I want to do is to become a teacher, right? Because of this fear that I had, right? And so I was finally given an opportunity to substitute at a high school just for a day. And I was like, okay, I'll do this for like a day. And if it goes really bad, then I'll know that teaching is not for me. But it was like the second that I got into the classroom, and this is a high school classroom, this is the first time I've ever been in any type of teaching setting. And it just felt so natural to me. And I was like, after I left that day, I was like, man, was that just like all in my head? Like all of that fear, like built up. And so after that, I decided to pursue getting my alternative certification for teaching, because I had a degree in kinesiology, but I wasn't necessarily certified to teach in Texas. So went ahead and got that. And I spent my first 4 years of teaching at a private Christian school in the inner city of Houston, the third ward. It was about 99% African American, and had a really good time there. And but then moved out to Cypress, Texas, where my wife was teaching, and have been teaching out here ever since. So yeah, it's been a crazy journey, to say the least.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know some of that, so that's really interesting. I don't know about you, but yeah. One of the things you said was about your fear of like almost like public speaking kind of thing. It's funny. I can talk to like the children, the students, but I have trouble talking to like adults, like in big groups. I can talk to 130 kids at once, but 130 adults. I don't know. I have a hard time still with that. I don't know about you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I think sometimes I still get nervous speaking in front of adults, but yeah, that fear has almost diminished completely. You know, like when I stand up and I have to present in front of my colleagues at school, or, you know, colleagues in front of, from my district, it's almost non-existent now. So that's really great.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than like getting up in front of people and then like stumbling over your words and not feeling like you have the confidence, you know, to deliver what you feel like you want to deliver. But so, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, I totally get that. I'm getting a little better, but I'm not quite there yet.
Yeah.
So can you describe an average class, like inside, outside, what your space looks like, number of minutes, everything?
Sure. Yeah. So, we have this, first of all, the school that I teach at is a kindergarten through second grade only school. And it's brand new. So it's actually 2 years old, and the third through fifth grade school is right across the street, from us. And I think that their building just was a little too small for the population that was growing around it. And so our district purchased that land. And so here I am at, this school now. It's Hoover Elementary in Cypress, Texas. And we have total, we actually have pre-K as well, but I don't see pre-K for physical education. But I do teach kindergarten through second grade. And so that's approximately, it's about 660 students or so. And the way our schedule is set up, we see first grade, two first grade classes back to back in the morning. And then we have lunch, and then we have two kindergarten classes after that, and then we have two second grade classes at the end of the day. And so that kind of fills our day. Our kids come 2.5 days a week for 50, it's supposed to be 55 minutes, but we usually leave like a little 5 minute window for transitions, just so that teachers can pick up and then drop off without too much traffic in the hallways. Let's see, what was your other question? Oh yeah. About our space. So we have a nice brand new gym. It's really great. The only thing, I wish was a little different about it is I wish it was bigger. I love seeing all the gyms on Twitter that are like these nice full size basketball courts. You know, unfortunately we don't have that. That being said, I'm very thankful that we actually do have a space, because I know that some people, don't have that. And so, so thankful for that. But yeah, it is a lot smaller than most gyms, I would say. And then we have a pretty big outside space as well. There's like a concrete track, nice. That we take our kids out to do run club on. And there's also a big grassy field out there. And on the inside of the track is a soccer field. It's not like a full size soccer field, you know, but we do have two soccer goals in there, and we kind of use it as a play area as well. So.
Awesome. That's really cool. So what's your average class size, and what is it? Well, go ahead. Let's start with that. What's your average class size?
Oh yeah. So class size is anywhere from, I think, 45 students, two classes to three classes, close to 80 students.
Wow. Do you have any paras? I forgot. You do.
I do have one full-time para that's with me all the time. Yes. And then, you know, sometimes we have students that require, paraprofessional help as well. So,
right.
So yeah.
Right. Wow. So what's your biggest challenge then? That's, besides, like, I guess, indoor space, what would be your biggest challenge teaching kindergarten through second?
Our biggest challenge for me is we have kids that just, you know, struggle with discipline and behavior issues and things like that. And so, you know, sometimes I'll have students, you know, just yell in the middle of a lesson or just because they want to, you know, or they'll be like getting out of their seat and running around. And so that's difficult. You know, it's hard to not like keep going teaching, and you have to deal with that student that's interrupting the class. Right. And so I'm always, you know, asking for wisdom, trying to seek out people's advice on, you know, how do you deal with students that disrupt classes like this, you know? And so, but I would say that most of our students are really, really well behaved, but it's those few students that are pretty challenging, you know, and we're always trying to talk to each other, us teachers at our school, about how best to teach them, accommodate them, and, you know, help them understand like what they're required to do as a student. I think above all though, you know, I teach at a Title I school, and a lot of our students come from lower income homes, and their parents have to work late hours, and they don't always get the quality time with their parents. And so, you know, some of those issues that they have at home, they bring into our classroom. And so it's challenging at times, but I think my goal and my aim as a PE teacher is to really just reaffirm like how much they're loved. And I try to communicate that to them, you know, whenever I discipline them, and I remind them that, hey, listen, I'm disciplining you, and I'm helping you to understand what the right thing to do is because I care for you. And so that's one of my big goals as a PE teacher, is just that every student that comes in my class, they would know how much they're loved by me. So
I love that. And that's the most important thing, right? I mean, if they know how to throw a ball, you know, that's great. But if they are a good, solid person, a good citizen, you know, a caring person, you know, that shows good sportsmanship, and it just in general, I mean, that's what I feel like. I feel like, well, especially when I teach the older kids, I try to tell them, you know, third, fourth, or fifth, I'm like, you know, if you're the greatest basketball player there is, but you don't pass the ball and you're not nice to your teammates and you show bad sportsmanship, then, you know, that's not what we're looking for. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I don't care, but I'd rather you be a solid player, not LeBron James, but a decent player, but, you know, a better person, you know?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, eventually, you know, life is going to hit them where, you know, if they haven't, you know, dealt with those things that they struggle with, or maybe those behaviors that they keep repeating, it'll eventually catch up to them. You know, like you were saying, that they might be a really, really great athlete. But you know, if they don't make the grade, or if they, you know, have conduct issues in high school, well, then that will definitely have consequences for whether or not they play on their high school team, and on and on. So yeah, I really try to hit on that. But at the same time, I know that they're still really, really young. I mean, I'm dealing with, you know, kindergarten through second grade. And so, but I just try my best to instill that in them and just to really love them. So,
yeah, I love that. I think it's a perfect, perfect answer. I don't remember the question. I don't remember the question. No. So if I walked into your class for the first time ever, and I just kind of walked in, I mean, I'm picturing the space now. I got the number of kids. What would it look like? What would the first 5 minutes look like? Just pick an average class. What would it look like from start to finish, just in general?
From start to finish, our kids walk in, and we always have them walk in quietly. That's a lot of times and this is something again that our kids struggle with. And this is why we work with them so much on this. But when they come in, they just want to run around and like play tag, like right away. And so we're like, no, you cannot do that. So we usually have them come in walking on. We have an outside perimeter line that kind of like are the boundaries of the gym floor. And so we have them walk on that blue line. And then I'm usually asking for volunteers to remind us as a class how we need to walk to our squares, to our assigned spots. And so I'll call on a few students and they'll go to their spot. Or if I have cones set up, and we're going to start right away with a warm-up, I have a few students help out with that as well. That usually gets the class's attention, like when I ask for volunteers, like almost all those students are raising their hands and getting quiet and try not to talk as much to the person next to them. So, but we usually always start off with a warm-up or just an instant activity. It could be something like a rock, paper, scissors game where they're getting the heart rate up, going from person to person, or, you know, wall to wall, or going around the cones. But try to make it really fun. I love integrating music into our program and use Spotify for that. And I have a playlist that's full of fun songs that they love. And it seems to really motivate them. So, but yeah, so that's probably like the first 5-10 minutes of class. Then after that, we'll usually start off with maybe another instant activity, and then we'll go straight into like the main activity that we're going to do for the day. And if it's a new game, if it's an activity where I know I'm going to have to spend some time with rules and safety and all of that, then I always try to provide visuals on Promethean board, usually through Google Slides. And that way I'm not having to just spend so much time, like, you know, trying to explain everything with my words. Words, especially for kindergarten through second grade, are really hard for them to pay attention to with their attention span. So if I can provide a visual up there that can actually show them the exact action that I want them to take, then it's a lot better. And I found just over the years that I need to put that extra work in to create those visuals so that it's easier for them to understand exactly what they're going to do. So that results in a safer class for us and a more fun time for them. So so I guess that's what I would say. And then the last few minutes of class, I usually spend time encouraging them. I've created a bunch of slides that have like some different animated GIFs and things that just provide encouraging words to them, because the thing that I want to get across to them most is that, look, you can always compare yourself to someone else and feel bad about the way that you performed or the way that you are. But I want you to know that if you gave 100%, I am so proud of you, you know? And like, even if we practice or I introduced a new skill to you and you practiced it the whole time and you still didn't feel like you got it, I'm really proud of you for the way that you tried your best and didn't quit. And so, that's something that I always want them to walk away with. I don't want them to ever feel like, wow, I failed in PE and my teacher is upset at me or anything like that. So,
love it. I think that's great. I was going to talk to you about technology in a bit. So since you brought it up, you seem to have a kind of a love for technology and new things. definitely the animated GIFs. I always call them GIFs. I know GIFs is correct. So, but where did that come from? Have you always been interested in technology?
Yeah, I have. And I don't know. I guess it was a few years back. Just during the summers, I decided to teach myself web design and specifically like coding CSS. So like every website that you see, including like Twitter, you know, Voxer, all those websites that you see online, the design of the website is all in CSS usually. And so I learned CSS and began like coding websites and things like that. But then when I began to realize that I could do a lot of this stuff for PE, and you know, Google Slides has made it really easy because that way I don't have to touch code or anything like that. And so, but yeah, most of the things that I create are in Google Slides just because it's so easy to create. And but it's still kind of versatile. You know, it's not as versatile, I would say, as Microsoft PowerPoint, but you can definitely still do a lot of things and make some visually stimulating things that are fun to do, and you can insert GIFs and all that. So yeah, I kind of go with Google Slides, but I love tinkering with stuff. I love figuring out how to do different things, especially with animated GIFs. And so, you know, a lot of times I'll just be experimenting and trying new things. And lately I've gotten into some green screen stuff after seeing some of Lynn Heffel's, Lynn Heffley? I think that's her last name.
Lynn Heffley. I think it's Heffley.
Yeah. Heffley, yeah.
Yeah, I met her. She's awesome.
Some of her stuff. And I even created a thing for her, the physical, well, she calls it physical snacks. So I just basically created like an easy to access page for me to access all of her wonderful videos that she has on YouTube. So one of the responsibilities that I feel like I have with the phys ed Twitter username is to promote the work of other PE teachers, because I've been so inspired and by the work of other PE teachers that I see on Voxer and Twitter. That's one of the things I love to do, is just to create things and to help promote some of their stuff so that other people can can use it within their classroom as well. So,
yeah. And can you tell that story about how you got that Twitter handle? Cause I think that was kind of funny. Didn't someone else own it and you reached out to them or something? Can you explain that?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. So I'd seen that the phys ed username had been grabbed by someone, but they had only done like one tweet, and they hadn't tweeted since like 2009. Okay, and this was like I think like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And so I saw that I think I saw his first name and last name, or I did a little research and tried to find out like if I could find him or Google him, and didn't come up with anything. And I went on Facebook actually and found someone that had the same first and last name. And it turned out that he was like in El Paso somewhere. So I was like, great, I'm going to message him. And so I instant messaged him and didn't hear back from him for a month. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe he just doesn't want anything to do with me. But then all of a sudden I got an instant message back from him, and he was like, yeah, I would love to give it to you. Yeah, you're right, I haven't used it in forever. I just kind of set it up, and you're more than welcome to have it. And so I kind of helped him figure out what he needed to do so that I could grab it. And he did it, and the rest is history. So I was excited to get it. Because I really wanted to put it to good use. My previous Twitter username was PE Friends, and it was funny at that time. I think Jared PE Geek. Is that his name?
Jared Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah, Jared Robinson.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's been so long, but yeah, at that time I think he was just starting out releasing some of his stuff on Twitter. And I had like an online community, and my whole vision for the PE Friends website thing was, you know, to kind of build a community of PE teachers where we could go back and forth and talk about things, share things and all that. Well, Twitter's has been a pretty good platform for that, as well as Voxer. So I don't feel like I need to recreate that. So,
yeah, but I've noticed, and you and I've talked for a few years, definitely, as far as Voxer and Twitter, and you definitely put out lots of great content for everybody. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate being on your list of people to follow too. So I think that's always awesome when you update that and send it out to everybody. So that's pretty cool. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's I did that initially because I think Matthew Pomeroy come out with like a PE must follow list, and I was like, oh man, that's so good. And I was like, you know what? I could probably add a bunch of teachers to that. And so I decided to just create one and push it out there. But honestly, it's something that I need to update, because there are a lot more teachers out there on Twitter that are sharing some great things. And my thing is too, and this is I think some PE teachers have a problem with this, but this is kind of my personal feelings on this, is that if you, let's say you're a teacher of the year, okay, but you have no presence online, well, I can't really add you to the list, you know, just because you're a teacher of the year. The whole thing behind the Twitter must follow list is that these are PE teachers that are on Twitter sharing resources, ideas, videos, things in their classroom that other PE teachers can benefit from on Twitter. And so that's kind of my thinking behind it. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, if you are a teacher of the year, but you don't have a Twitter account, I'm not really going to add you, you know, just for the sake that you're just for the fact that you're a teacher of the year.
All right. So one of the reasons why I even started this podcast and started putting out content was because, you know, my first 2 years of teaching PE, I had really nobody. I wasn't on Twitter, so that probably would help, obviously. I had PE Central, which is awesome, and I appreciate Mark Mantross for putting that together. And but I didn't have nearly the connections or, you know, people to follow back then and stuff like that. So I appreciate everybody that's done stuff for me. So I'm trying to give back, I guess, kind of like you are as well, so other people can, I guess, you know, have an easier transition into the phys ed world, you know?
Yes. That's awesome. And that's what I love about our community too. You know, it doesn't seem like there's anybody that's out there just for themselves. You know, it seems like we're all just kind of sharing things, trying to make each other better in our, you know, trying to push our profession forward. I do think, you know, our profession just in and of itself has a lot going for it because of all the research that has been coming out about students having physical activity during the day, you know, at school and the benefits that they reap from that. So we've got a lot going for us, but it always helps having PE teachers like you and everyone else sharing and content and all of that, making us better. So
thanks. I appreciate it. And like I said, I appreciate all the work you've done and everything you put out because I'm not the greatest tech guy in the world. I do okay, but actually just putting this together, I feel like I'm ahead of the game, or at least my game, up the game just in editing and things like that. And so one thing I was going to ask you is going to go back a little bit, but I'm always struggling with kindergarten, especially games and things. I love them. They're awesome and they're cute and everything, but they can be a handful and they're hard to, even like boundaries and things. Like, do you have a boundary game? Anything like I even have the cone set up and they just run right past the cones and they just don't, do you have anything for boundaries? What kind of games do you play for that? Or give me one game maybe, or one go-to thing.
Yeah, for kindergarten, that's a good boundary game.
Yeah.
Just trying to teach them like boundaries as far as just knowing, like, don't go past these cones.
Yeah. Boundaries of a game. Yeah. Do you have anything? Yeah.
You know, starting off, I don't really have too many boundaries because I like the kindergartners to kind of explore the space, you know, but I also realize that I have to keep them safe as well. So that being said, I mean, I do have some boundaries for kindergartners, but it usually pertains to them staying away from some of the technology equipment that I have because I just don't want them to get hurt. Like, for example, sometimes I have kindergarten students that like to stand on the legs of my Promethean board, which if they fall off, I mean, it's pretty hard metal on there, so it could really hurt them. Mm-hmm. And so I try to keep them away from that. But it is funny because I do have like some mats that are in the corner of my gym where they're kind of standing upright, but they're squeezed in. And so a lot of my kindergartners like to go through, you know, back in there, and they like to kind of hide back there. So I have to remind them that they're not allowed to be back there. And that's, you know, if you get caught back there, you get hurt and all of that. But,
all right. So you mentioned music. I really appreciate music and I love you incorporating music. And I'll be honest, my first year or two of teaching, I probably didn't do enough. I don't think there was enough music that I played. I think it was just, I don't know, whatever. I found the value of music in transitions and in just in general, kids playing, they like to hear music. So how do you use music in your class?
Well, it's funny because I'll use music, you know, that I play from Spotify to help with, you know, motivating them to exercise and during activities and things like that. And then there are songs that I usually come up with like on the fly, like, and that's always fun because I'll just like come up with something random and it usually just grabs their attention because they're kind of taken aback by it. And they're like, whoa, who is this? I didn't think my PE teacher like, you know, sung or came up with like a rhyme or anything like that. And so I don't know. I'll just come up with different things and really seems to grab their attention. But yeah, I love using music in PE.
Is that, do you use it as transition or just in the background or both or warm up?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So all the above.
Yeah. So for warm ups, I'll use it during warm ups. And then I'll also like during activities using it as a start and stop signal. So it helps them to understand exactly when they're supposed to stop and when they're supposed to start again.
All right. So let me give you a few, as we're kind of transitioning, a few, not just rapid fire questions, but I mean, ones I really am interested in and I want to learn about you and about your, you know, your PE program. So the first one is, look, I know you're a man of faith and so am I. We talk about this on Voxer. So how has faith, you can get as specific as you want or not. How has faith played a role in your overall journey? It could be your life journey, or just your PE journey or both.
Yeah. So my faith is central to everything that I do as a physical educator. Because my calling as a Christian, I'm a Christian, one who believes that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and that he walked upon this earth, that he was perfect man, that he died on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, and that he paid the penalty for our sins, and that when he rose from the dead, that I too, through faith in Christ, have risen from the dead and am now free from the power of sin and free to live for God, which is what God has called me to do, to live for him. And so that's where I find my greatest purpose and my greatest calling. And so as a PE teacher, like, that's my goal every single day, is to glorify God in my work. And so I can't do that, though, if I'm trying to do it in my own strength. And so what I do is I spend time praying. I spend time in his word, reminding me of what's true about him and what's true about me, and also about what's true about my students. And so, you know, because I'm at a public school, I'm not going to be like, you know, sharing the word of God with them or like necessarily preaching the gospel to them, but I am going to love them like God calls me to love them. Like God has shown me how to love them through Jesus, through his life and his example. And so, I ask God for wisdom, and, I ask him for creative ideas. And, there's actually a verse that says, it's the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. I want to say it's chapter 10 or 12. He had this eye problem, and he pleaded with God, to take it away. And God said, no, he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. And he said, more gladly, therefore, I would rather boast of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And so every day I come to God just as a child and just ask God for help, ask God to work through me and in me so that my students, you know, can not only get quality physical education and, you know, good teaching from me, but also that they would come to know his love for them through his son Jesus. So I guess that's the short answer.
Yeah, right.
of how my faith plays a role. Yeah. But no doubt, I mean, you know, one of the signs of a Christian is our love, not only for each other, the people of the body of Christ, but also for those that don't believe. And one of the things that Jesus taught is to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. So even though, you know, my students obviously are not my enemies, right? It's not like they're like fighting against me necessarily, like trying to hurt me or harm me. But God does call me to pray for them. He calls me to pray for people in leadership above me. He calls me to pray for those around me, so that they too might glorify him as God calls us to do. And, you know, there are other people surrounding me that pray for me as well. And I invite them in. Dave, you're one of them. And there's some other men who are physical educators on Twitter where, you know, we share prayer requests and we talk about things that are going on in our lives so that we can help each other and try to be the best men that God has called us to be. None of us are perfect, right? But we all strive to walk just as Jesus did, showing grace and being merciful and loving people and all of that. So,
you know, I appreciate you and I appreciate all the other phys ed teachers, the men in our group, because we do pray for each other. And, you know, it is my favorite group to talk to, even though I've only met, I think, one or two of the people. I mean, physically met them in person, but I definitely consider all of you friends. And, you know, I had kind of one of those moments where I was in church last week. We were on spring break last week. And during church, this one student just kept popping in my head. And he's one of those really difficult, he's second grade, and he's just really difficult, just behavior-wise. But, you know, it just made me really think about, am I really doing the best I can for him? Am I really loving? I love him, but am I really loving him and really showing that as best I can? And I made it a point this week to just every morning, just, you know, hey, how you doing? His name's Devin. You know, just, and he'll come in with a sad face almost every morning. I'll see my parent drop off and I'm like, I don't know what exactly, you know, his life is outside of school, but he just looks like he just needs that. He needs that love. And you know, it's sometimes it's easy for us to, I mean, I love all my students and I know you do too, but it's way easier to really love the ones that always come and give you hugs and are always like, you know, talking to you. And it's not as easy with the ones that are causing trouble and, you know, physically touching other, you know, pushing other kids or being mean to other kids. And right then and there, I just knew I had to do more for those students and really love on them and really, you know, just do the best I could for them. Cause I didn't feel like I was. And so, you know, I appreciate you sharing that because I think we all need that reminder too of just, they're all our students and we need to just do the best we can for them. And we don't know where they're coming from at home.
That's right. Yeah. We really don't, you know, and a lot of these students, they come in with smiles on their faces, but inwardly they might be really, really struggling. And so, I think that's one of the things I really ask God to help me with is just to love the ones that are the most difficult because, you know, just going back to that verse, love your enemies, you know, let's say I do have someone in my life, not a student, but someone, whether it be a stranger or a family member that's just mistreating me, you know, God still calls me to love that person, you know, and to pray for that person, so that they can glorify God and stop whatever it is that's, you know, either destroying our relationship or causing conflict. And so, yeah, that's definitely one of the things that I strive to do. And, is just to thank God for those students. Like I try to, before I leave school, just really try to pray and just thank God for those students and then pray again for them. Like as they go home, just that God would protect them and help them.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, I have other questions for you, but I don't know how I'd follow that up. I really don't. Well, let me ask one more because besides obviously reading the Bible and who are some of your mentors? Is there anybody else on social media or at home or who are some people that you look up to for inspiration?
Well, I'll tell you what, I do have a friend of mine that was in my wedding. We've been friends since college. I met him in college and we became roommates. And then, you know, after college, we've remained friends. But he has a degenerative muscle disease, a very rare muscle disease called musculomyoshi. And it's a genetic disorder. He was actually just a really strong guy, completely normal physically all the way up until high school, really good football player. And then all of a sudden midway through high school, he started getting weakness in his legs and some atrophy in his legs. And he had trouble walking and things like that. And it turns out he had this genetic disease. And so now he's in a wheelchair and he's married, he has three kids, but yeah, he's in a wheelchair and will be for the rest of his life. But he's been a huge inspiration to me of just someone who has a great attitude about life and, you know, still laughs and jokes and just has a great perspective. He too is a believer. And so I think, having that hope in Christ helps him with his condition and helps him to not be, you know, so down and depressed and mad at God. But he realizes that that what he has is for a greater purpose with God and to help reach others. So he's definitely one. There's an author, I know David's probably heard of him, and some other guys, but his name is John Piper. And actually he's written a book called Desiring God. That's the title of the book. It's just called Desiring God by John Piper. And for anyone listening out there, I mean, you can get it as a free PDF. And I will say that aside from the Bible, it is like the book that has just totally changed my perspective on who God is and how he works and what his purposes are in this world. And so I would say he's definitely a mentor to me just because he's someone who speaks the truth boldly and is unashamed about God and is passionate about God and his word. So. I guess,
he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's an amazing author. Just
incredible. Yeah.
So again, I have these other questions, but I want to stick with this for like another minute or two and then I'll let you go because I want to respect your time. So is there a song or, cause there's a song that changed my life, I think. And it's by Third Day. It's called, Gosh, love song. Sorry. I don't know if you know, you probably know that song, I'm sure, right? I mean, to me, that was, it was at a Young Life camp, and I was already a Christian, but that just moved me so much, and it changed so many lives, and it allowed me to reach so many kids. And I got a chance to tell Mac Powell that actually a couple of years ago, it was actually the Toby Mac concert, but he was one of the headliners, and I got to tell him that. And it was amazing. And is there any song or anything that just totally like jumps out at you that, you want to plug or you want to have anybody listen to? Cause I'd love to hear it.
Oh gosh. Well, one of my favorite artists is Phil Wickham. So I guess they could look that up, but he's got a number of really, really great songs. And let's see, I would say another song that I really like, a group that I like is Leland. And they have a song called, let's see, I don't know if I can find it, but it's called, let's see, The Sun Was Lifted Up. By Leland, and I love that song. There's just a lot of great truths in there that really encourage me and help me remind me of God's love for me. Aside from that, I could name some more, but yeah, those two artists have really meant a lot to me. That, and I will mention one more. His name is Brenton Brown, and he's from the UK, and just love his work as well.
Awesome. I'm learning stuff. I never heard of Leland or Brenton Brown. So you said,
yes, Brenton awesome. Brown.
See, and I knew this interview would turn into something totally different. And that's awesome. I love it. So tell you what, I'm going to give you the kind of last word. First of all, I appreciate you just your time. And I appreciate you always just giving back to our phys ed community. I appreciate just you as a sounding board, just us talking on Voxer and throwing things across on ideas and things on Twitter as well. So first of all, I want to thank you for that. I hear some noise in the background. No, somebody awake? Yeah. No, it's all good. That's all good. That's part of this.
Yeah, baby crying, I guess, in our room.
That's right. Well, that's why I'll let you go. So thank you so much again. I appreciate it. I'm going to give you the final word as far as, some final thoughts. And how can we follow you, by the way? If you want to give the Twitter handle, how can we follow you? And any final thoughts for the phys ed community?
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at phys ed. And then you can also follow me at phys ed on Instagram and then also Voxer. Final thoughts is, I don't know. I just encourage all of us to just keep pressing on and keep working hard and just trying to do our best. I think it's hard. I know I struggle sometimes just getting on Twitter sometimes and seeing all the great things that other PE teachers do. And my tendency, sadly, is to compare myself with someone else and to be like, oh, I'm not doing the great things that they're doing. But I think just to do what we can and just to take the resources that we've been given on Twitter and that people are sharing and just to utilize those as best we can and to not be afraid to ask questions. I think that's where we tend to get in trouble if we become too prideful or scared to really ask people to come in and help us out, in the areas where we know that we need help and we might be weak in. So
thank you so much. I appreciate it. I totally agree. So thanks again, Spencer. I appreciate it and have a great night.
All right, you too. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the episode with Spencer Barfus. He's just an incredible guy, and he got a little deep with me there. So I again, appreciate him and his time and just all he's done for the phys ed world. And I appreciate all of you for tuning in. So take care. And as always, you can go to supersizephysed.com for more information, sign up for the newsletter, just more good stuff for your summer break, hopefully. And make sure you check out Spencer on Twitter, Voxer, anywhere he's at. He's a great guy and he's always willing to help out the phys ed community. So take care, and here is a new beat for you.